Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, this is the second in our series on business planning. Yesterday, we spoke about our company's mission and how we review and reaffirm the company mission each year when we undertake our annual planning cycle. From the company mission, we established the 3-year and 10-year goals for the company. We actually have 7 years remaining in the last 10-year plan. This is the long-range outlook for the company's revenue, its profitability, cash flow, assets under management, and net worth. It's an essential part of the planning process. As a real estate development company, we make money by doing projects, taking them through their life cycle. And I'm often asked how we find our deals. The truth is, I actually have no idea how to hunt for deals. We don't hunt for deals, and we never have. All of our deals have come to us. It's a matter of positioning ourselves appropriately in the market so that deals come to us. Part of that involves having the business structure that attracts opportunity. When we plan for the long term, it's about considering the various sources of income and for the sustainability of the business. See, money is generated in 3 different ways. There's earned income, residual income, and capital gains. That only comes down to those 3. In the context of real estate, earned income is in the form of fees earned by the consulting division of the company, and to a lesser extent, development fees from our own in-house projects. These fees don't exist to create wealth for us as partners. They exist to create consistency and sustainability for the core functions of the business. The second form of income is residual income. This is cash flow from operations, from rental properties, whether they're residential or commercial. Residual income is fairly predictable once a project is stabilized and running on autopilot with permanent financing. But even then, there can be some variability because cash flow represents the knife edge of the profit margin. If investors have a preferred return and the profit to the sponsors could vary based on how rents, vacancies, and expenses unfold in the future. And then that third form of income is capital gains, and it results from transactions. The timing of these transactions is often difficult to predict. The financial results are usually great when these transactions occur, but the company and investors alike, they both get to reap the benefits when these large paydays happen. But if you've got employees who expect to be paid every month or every couple of weeks, it makes it difficult to make payroll if you're waiting on a transaction that might get delayed. These delayed are often the result of changes from, say, a buyer. Sometimes these transactions are delayed by administrative delays at the city. Whatever the reason, a sustainable business needs to have enough of those first 2 forms of revenue in order to maintain stability. Now, regardless whether the tax authority calls the income ordinary income or capital gains, the point is that this is the result of a transaction. The reason for considering this third category of transactional income is that it actually contributes a lot to the financial performance of the business over the long term, but it occurs with less regularity than the other 2 forms of income. So when we put together a plan, we're thinking about our investors, and we're also thinking about our employees, and then finally ourselves as partners in the business. When we plan the 10-year and the 3-year plan, we're determining the types of projects we want to form the core of the business over that time horizon. For example, we determined that we didn't want to achieve the business goals of the company or for our investors if we're working on projects that are too small. So we set a minimum project size for us to even consider participating in that project. Now, over the last few years, we have, from time to time, in fact, violated that criteria and allowed some small projects to creep into our workload. In fact, we've regretted it almost each and every time. Small projects take too much time, and they sap the team of its most valuable resource, which is time. The opportunity cost is simply too high. The other part of the 3 and 10-year plan involves managing the flow of projects. We want to add a certain number of projects each year in order to hit the long-term targets. It's important that we plan our staffing for the projects that are in the pipeline. That means we need the requisite skills in underwriting and due diligence and project management, investor relations, financial management, and so on. And if we're out of balance in any of the important skills in the organization, we're ultimately going to underperform. When we plan our growth, we're thinking about that bench depth. We can't have any critical skill gaps. Just as importantly, we need bench depth. That means having the resilience so that someone can take a few weeks vacation and the business continues to operate. Or if, God forbid, someone gets sick, we've got the depth to continue to operate. We don't aspire to grow just for the sake of growth. Growth is important to us for sustainability. It allows the organization to deepen the bench in those key areas. So back to the first question, where do we find deals? It would seem odd for a development company such as ours to be offering development consulting services for other developers. After all, we could be seen as helping our competition. But the truth is, a subset of those consulting engagements somehow seem to translate into our own company projects. By fostering relationships with other developers, we get to see more opportunities, and some of those opportunities ultimately come to us. We're not there to steal them from other developers. Developers may have a concept for their project, but they may have some missing elements. Sometimes they don't know how to structure the deal, or they don't have access to the right capital sources, or the best architects, or whatever their gap might be. We can often help them, and they often ask us to partner with them as a part of that project. So that's an essential element to our medium and long-term planning, our 3-year and our 10-year plan. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about our 1-year plan. This is such a critical part of the planning process. Hope you're engaging with us on this. I hope it's valuable. In the meantime, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.